Welcome to Be Strong Minded podcast. I'm Petia Kolibova, a mind, body, and soul transformation guide, meditation teacher, fitness and wellness expert, self-love junkie, and lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, I will be offering an interview or idea that will support you to build a strong mindset and confidence to leave behind your past suffering, enjoy the present moment, and create the life you deserve. I will take you on a journey of self-discovery by elevating your energy and connecting with your soul while offering simple steps and tools you can use right now to create a healthy and empowered life you love. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on the Be Strong Minded podcast. Today, I have a special and beautiful guest, Marlo Ellis. I met this beautiful lady a couple months ago, the time flies, on a conference for women. And I saw her first like mingling between women, and she has such an amazing energy. And then I saw her on stage, and that's when she took my breath away. So just so you also know who Marlo is, she's a coach of divine feminine leaders, transformation facilitator, and inspirational speaker and founder and visionary of the Uncommon Woman. She's driven to share her message of empowerment with women across the globe. Her vision is to create a stronger feminine presence in life and business through the destruction of fear-based decision-making and by building awakened, powerful connections between divine feminine leaders and their world. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for being here. First of all, you're so beautiful. I'm like, I want to grow my hair. I'm like, hashtag life goals. Thank you so much for you know, inviting me on. There's nothing that excites me more than chatting with the gals. So this is so great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Because I have to say, like, I attended in the past some networking events. I was in a couple women circle. Mm-hmm. But when I went to Bliss, I'm like, wow. When I saw the woman on stage, and you were one of them, mm-hmm. I'm like, so this is how it looks? This is how it looks when you step into your power, in your truth, and you don't care what other people think. It doesn't mean that you're invincible. It doesn't mean that you don't have the fears. But watching you and the other woman on stage, it gave me so much hope, inspiration. It's just, it's still like floating in me. The energy, it's still alive there. So I had to have you. So.
Yay! Well, thank you so much. And Bliss was great. It's such an amazing event. Lori always puts on a divine event for women. So
it was my first time. So I was virgin before that. So I was like, wow.
Not anymore. No, virgin no more.
No more.
No more. Gracias a Dios.
I lost it.
Yes. Me too.
For those who don't know you yet, or maybe even those who are already connected with you, mm-hmm. can you just share a little bit of your life story, how you got to where you are right now? Mm.
Okay, so I'll give you the condensed version, but I was a teacher for 10 years. So from the age of 30 to the age of 40. So I'm kind of meeting you about halfway, a little bit more than halfway. I'm not that old. But anyway, so when I was 30, I got my teaching degree and I went away. I taught in Canada for a few years and then I went away and I taught in Mexico at an American school for 7 years. And while I was living there, I was a high school teacher. I taught world history. I taught English. I was really in love with my work. But while I was teaching, I actually kind of, because I had been really heavy into fitness for many years, I had decided that for my 40th birthday, I would do something spectacular, something I'd always wanted to do, that I'd always dreamt of doing, that I had seen other women do. You know, I was one of those women who stood on the sidelines and wished and wanted, but hadn't done. And I decided that I was going to hit the fitness stage. And for my 40th birthday, I wanted to stand up on a stage and be part of a bikini competition. Everybody thought I was crazy, of course, right? Because they're like, you're 40. I'm like, that's exactly why I'm doing it. So 2 days after my birthday, I hit the fitness stage and I got first place in my first ever fitness competition. Wow. And I'm telling you that because that particular moment in time changed my entire life. because what happened from there is that women started coming to me while I was living in Mexico. So other international teachers, and saying, Marlo, would you coach me? Would you help me transform my body? I saw what you did to your body. You're 40. I'm 30. If you can do that, I can do that. And I said, absolutely. So I started actually like this little side business where I was training women on the side in the school gym in the evenings. So I would work out and then I would work them out, right? I always made sure I got my own workout in first and then I would work them out. And I started this little side business. So I think I was charging them like $40 a session or something like that. And then 2 years later, I decided that fitness was my passion. And what was interesting is so many women said to me, you love this more than you love teaching, I think. Like, you are so crazy passionate about this and you're so good at it. And I was like, really? never thought that. And then just kind of like a long line of events. I had hit 10 years of teaching, and I'm one of those people that tends to change things up every 10 years. And I was like, you know what? I think I could do this. I think that I'm really more passionate about learning more about this industry. So I actually retired from teaching, which made everybody in my family crazy. And all of my friends thought I was nuts. But I started a little fitness business in the top floor of my house, living in that country in Mexico. When my work visa was up, so about a year later, I came home to Canada, started a fitness business, and I was actually working with, at the time, so I had to take my business. I needed to work a place to work from, right, to work out of when I came home to Canada. So a gentleman that I met said, hey, I'm looking for somebody to share my studio with me. He owned the studio. And so I said, sure. I shared the studio with him. Of course, we love because we were like the fitness couple. And everything was going along just fine. And we were having a really great, you know, our business was very successful. It was growing. And then he got really abusive. And then he started having affairs. And my life took a complete turn. I had never experienced anything like that before. I didn't know what abuse really looked like. I didn't understand what it felt like. You love so much, betray you on such a deep level. We shared a home. We shared a business. We'd shared everything. And I was completely taken out at the knees. I felt like my world had just crumbled around me. And of course, being the coach and the fitness professional and the woman, everybody from the outside thought that we were perfect, but we were so toxic and we were in so much trouble. And so I went into a big spiral because I had nobody to speak to. So this is back in 2011. Things were different then. Social media wasn't what it is now. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for people to go into a Facebook group, for example, and like get lots of support. So I felt really isolated and alone, and I didn't want to tell my parents because I was ashamed. I didn't want to tell my friends because I didn't want them to hate him. I didn't want to tell my clients because I didn't want them to leave our business. So all of a sudden I was isolated in this like container of pain. So eventually I had to leave that relationship, and I opened my own gym. And 3 years later, I decided that the work that I really wanted to do, the work that me was drawing me more in, was working with women who wanted to leave the life that they were living and start a new life that looked like the life that they wanted, because that's exactly what I did, right? And doing it alone is impossible. You need support, you need love, you need sisterhood. So that's literally how I got here. That's, in a nutshell, that's the story. And so here I am now, 3 year anniversary, coming up to my coaching business, to my to the work I do now.
Congratulations. That's beautiful. I love it. I love when people, you know, turn their obstacles into opportunities, because, you know, so often women just stay because they are afraid. They are doing their decisions based on fear, because they fear of people judging them, that nobody else will love them, or feeling guilty because they think it's their fault. So by sharing what's possible, when you can find that inner strength in you and the power and really create a life of freedom, it's amazing. So how would you start? I mean, if you would go over again this, or, you know, what would be the first step, how you would turn that fear into the freedom, you know, because I know that you do believe that any woman can access the life of freedom.
Absolutely. So the thing that I was lacking at that time. And the thing that really helped me turn around to take the first step was I actually found a tribe. So I went looking, Bliss. That's why Bliss is so special to my, in my heart, because at that time in my life, I knew that I needed. So this was at the end of my 3 years of owning my gym. And I was feeling like I was, so I had gotten a lot of support as far as moving out of the toxic abusive relationship, but I felt like there was something more that I needed to do. And I was literally so busy caught up in just the doing when I was leaving the toxic relationship that I didn't think about anything else. So I guess you could look at it two ways. If you need to leave something that's really toxic, then you just take a look at what if I don't? Like the question I kept asking myself was, what if I don't leave? If I don't leave, my life is going to look like this for the rest of the days until it gets so bad that something really terrible happens.
Yeah. So
that was the question I asked myself. But then once I stepped into my coaching business, which was a different shift, I actually needed the right people around me as I moved from one really power, like one position to another. I was moving from a fitness coach to a transformational coach, and I looked for tribe. And so I would say you need to surround yourself with tribe, and you also need to look at what you don't want and say, okay, I don't want that, which narrows it down to this, or I know that I want this and I know that I don't want that. Like Okay. Whatever way you look at it, it's the same, right?
So you're using contrast, actually. That's what I'm hearing. Right. Like, yes. Look what I don't want. And that right. gives me more clarity of right. what I want. And right. then you see what you can do about what right. you want. Right. And you're so right. Like, there is so little we can do by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because back in Czech Republic, where I'm originally from, it's so much about competition, about how you look, what do you have, like the way mm-hmm. I was raised. It's like, if woman is beautiful, she's your competition, you know. If she's right. doing something, you cannot do it because there is less for you. And then living here in United States and really being surrounded by women, you know, like Lori and you right. and so many other beautiful souls right. that I'm surrounded, I'm like, wow, you get even more when you're surrounded with those women, because each of us, it's so unique that there is no way that you can get less.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Right. And one thing that I wanted to address was, it is a contrast. And sometimes we know what we don't want. Like, I've heard many women say to me in my work, I don't know what I want yet. And then I'll say, okay, so tell me what you don't want. And they can list it off right away. So sometimes when we don't know what we want, if we just go, okay, I know what I don't want, I'm going to write these things down.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take a look at my life and I'm going to see if I still have any of those pieces around me. And if so, I'm actually going to start shaving them away. Right.
Yeah. That's amazing. So that's powerful. Away.
I did a lot of shaving in a lot of years. Yeah. Besides my legs. But you know, it was just like a lot of things had to change, and it's very uncomfortable. Yeah. Very uncomfortable, because sometimes you have to literally extract yourself from a whole group of people, which I had to do. And that was difficult, but it was worth it. And it was what I wanted based mm-hmm. on what I didn't want. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love that. So how long this transformation took you?
Well, I mean, I think I've been transforming. I really didn't start my personal development journey. People don't believe this, but it's true, until I was 43. So I'm 49. I'll be 49 in a few weeks.
But wow. Yeah. Then we have to talk about like how to keep the beautiful face and
joy.
All yeah.
joy.
Okay,
all joy. Under lots of really good water. But so how long have I been transforming? I would say that in 2009, I think it was, when I decided to no longer be a teacher. I was kind of a teacher by default. I didn't say this, but my dad was a teacher and he was a great teacher. And I'm an extrovert and I love to be in front of crowds. Mm-hmm. And so people used to say to me all the time, Marla, you'd be such an awesome teacher. And I had actually taught English as a second language mm-hmm. To some groups for a few years. So I was doing it kind of part-time. And I was like, you know what? I did enjoy teaching. Sure. So it was not like, oh my God, I wasn't one of those, like, I want to be a teacher. It is my life work. It wasn't like that. It was really more about, yeah, I better do something with my life because I'm 30. Right. So I went into teaching, and at 40, that's when I transformed. That's when my mind changed. getting up on that stage when I was 40, 2 days after my birthday, having never been on a stage before, in this little time, I wasn't really a bikini wearer either until that day. I remember standing there going, if I can do this, I can do anything, because I did so much work to get me to that stage. And I was blown away when I got first place. I completely blown away. I was like, what? What? And it was all in Spanish, right? So I was like, what? Like, I was a stupid girl. Or, what did they say? I'm trying to interpret. They're like, premier lugar. I'm like, what? But so I recognized that you can do anything if you put your mind to it, but it takes ridiculous amounts of work. And that journey through that fitness training to that stage is really kind of the journey that I take women on now. It's called Seats to Stage. And it's the same philosophy. And I feel like any woman, if once you know what you want, you can call it your stage, right? Literal or figuratively. Whatever it is that you want in your life, that's your stage. Okay, how are you going to get there? Right? And so you start planning it out. And of course, your plan is going to change and shift and grow and evolve. But you kind of go, okay, my plan is like, I'm going to go from there to there. That might be your plan. Like, you have no idea otherwise. But it just starts to fall into place, right? As you listen to your intuition and you actually start taking the signs, anything that aligns with what you want is right, you know? Yeah.
So you based your decision also on your intuition, and how does it feel to 100%. You to know you are on the right path?
Right, 100% intuition. Because it felt, even though it might've been difficult, it felt good. So I remember, I was doing my hill sprints. It was like 2 weeks before my first competition. And I was getting up at like 5 a.m. and it was dark out. And I was putting on, you know, my headset, and I was wearing like a little cap, and I'm not a runner. Like, you have to understand, like, this is painful for me. And my coach is like, hill sprints every morning. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, can I run backwards down the hill? Like, does that work? You know? And I remember thinking, this is so painful, I may die. Like, I was, you know how you have those, like, this is so hard. Like, I had to go all the way to the top. I was like, I can't take one more step. And then I would take it, you know? And so I kept my eye on what it was that I wanted. And I did the hill sprints, and it was extremely painful, and it was unpleasant, and I really didn't like any piece of it, but it was in complete alignment with what I wanted. And so it brought me joy, even though it was painful and awful. And I believe that we can feel true joy and pain at the same time. So I was feeling pain, but I knew that that pain was part of my process to my greater joy.
I love that. So would the first step be figuring out what do you want? Like, the big picture, the big goal, or?
Right. Well, you know, and that's a tough question to answer, because I know so many women, I'm sure as do you, that have a pull. That's a word that they use often. I'm feeling pulled to do something, but I don't know what it is. So usually what I do is I ask them to break down all the things that they love about what they're doing right now. Sometimes they'll say, you know, I was at an event and it completely shifted me. And I'll say, okay, what did you love about that event? Because something there shifted you. And they'll say, well, I loved listening to the speakers on stage. I've always wanted to be a speaker. Oh, okay. So, you know, so it's about the pull. What pieces of what you're doing pull you? Like, we all have pieces of our work that we love and then pieces of our work that we don't love. Right? Like, I will never be an uphill sprint trainer ever. But there was a time when I opened my gym that I started putting women on stage. I loved the general process of getting women to stage, but there were certain areas that were my area of expertise, and the other, I was like, go find yourself a running coach, go find yourself a nutritionist or whatever, right? I'll help you in this area that I'm good at. So I think when you feel the pull and when you listen to your intuition, and you start looking for the things, little small details that really light you up. Like, you might be sitting in at a live event and somebody gets on stage and they start speaking. Yeah. And you actually are like vibrating and you're like, I so want to be that person. I want to do just what she's doing, which is what I did with Laureate Bliss. I was like, I want to be on that stage, yep, speaking, and that's how I'm going to do everything to get there. And then I was there this year. You know, I knew that there was a speaking component to the work I wanted to do. At that point, that's all I knew. I didn't know what else I was going to do, right? But I knew I wanted to speak. So the first thing she had me do is just run a live event where I spoke, right?
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that. Like, when you clearly know, see, this is what, yeah, I love, this is what I want. And I competed myself. I did a couple bikini shows. Yeah. I never won, so
Doesn't matter. It's really just the beauty of the journey, don't you think?
Exactly. That's what I wanted to say. It's really about the journey, because what I was thinking on that stage, I wanted to die. I wanted to throw up. Oh, I'm not an extrovert. Trust me. Like, I'm crazy because if life brings me an opportunity to do something right away before my mind has like time to kick into the survivor, I say yes. Right. And then I hate myself and I regret it. Like, why am I doing this? But then I'm happy because, you know, it's like, if I can do this, I can do anything. And it just really pushes you to grow.
Right.
It's beautiful. And the confidence that you get, not by winning or not by being on the stage, but the process, if you can do the sprints, if you can wake up early in the morning, if you can stick with your diet, like, it builds up your confidence for the rest of your life in other areas.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yes. You know, I really believe in the journey into any kind of big goal, right? And I always say that, you know, the journey is so important. Obviously, reaching your goal is super important as far as knowing that you can do things and complete them, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's really important. But it was really the journey into knowing that I could actually put my mind to things that I didn't like to do.
Yeah.
Because I was one of those people when I was younger, pretty much up until I was 30, that only did the things that I liked to do. Right? If I didn't like something, I just didn't do it. And that wasn't always good. Like, sometimes, you know, I was not being responsible, right? Mm-hmm. And so you learn through that process that just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not beneficial to your final, you know, your goal or what it is that you want to achieve or how you want to see your life, right?
Yeah. I love that. And I also love that you are a freedom coach, because when I talk with my coaching clients, when we talk about them, breaking it down, what are their goals, the main two goals really are happiness and freedom. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever they're doing, it will always leads to more freedom or more happiness based on what they're doing. You know, like, once I do this, once I get there, I'll be happy. So those two are, I feel like, the really key ingredients to fulfilled life.
Yeah.
So let me ask you,
okay,
if a woman comes to you, someone you never met, let's say on your event or on the street, and she comes to you and she will ask you, how can I build a life of freedom instead of life of fear?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Follow the feels. Follow your feelings. Because what I've learned is that our feelings are very powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, when we get really excited about something, or when we see somebody doing something and we start wishing or wanting, that's a feeling, right? And when we see something that we really don't like, maybe like somebody abusing somebody else, if that gives us a reaction, a physical, like an emotional reaction, which are often tied together, then follow that. Don't be part of that. Don't let that into your sacred space. Don't stand in that. So I have really leaned into following my feelings, my intuition, the gut thing over the last several years, because sometimes the decisions that we want to make seem completely illogical, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nothing about this is smart. I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose everybody. It isn't what I said I was going to do a year ago. It doesn't make any sense. Like, we have all of these distractions and all this feedback, but you can't fight your feelings. If the feelings are there, they're there. And generally, that's because somewhere buried deep inside, something triggered you at some point in your life to be drawn to that. And often, if it's something that requires us getting uncomfortable, we'll push it aside, right? So for many years, I had wanted to be a public speaker. But I just thought, I'm never going to be a public speaker. I have no stages to speak on. Nobody's going to want to hear what I have to say. Who am I to think that I have anything to say that's worth valuable? So I stepped it down. But then when I went, for example, and went to Bliss in 2015, and I saw Lori speaking, I was like vibrating. And I remember at one point she said, it's your turn to live the life that you truly want to live. But now the beautiful thing is that you get to decide. And I remember like vibrating and thinking, I just want to speak. I want to be a speaker and do the transformational work that you're doing. Right. Mm. So then I followed that feeling. you know, and
I love that. Yeah, I'm writing down all these goals because it's so beautiful. Follow the feeling. Is there any difference between intuition and feeling? Because, you know, I work or mm-hmm. interview a different spiritual healers and coaches. Right. And so many of them are using the intuition, you know.
Right.
So is there any difference?
Well, and you know, that's a great question. So yeah, I think there is a difference. But see, when you follow your good feelings, right? So if things that you know, I mean, I talk about tapping in and listening to your intuition. It's probably one of the first things I say to any of my clients. What is in the first five seconds, what is your intuition saying? But sometimes people don't know what their intuition says. So for this podcast, I'm saying follow your feelings. Because I think that we're a lot more tapped into our feelings than we are into our intuition. Now, there are people who will say, I'm totally tapped into my intuition. Like, I know I am, and I'm guessing that you are, because we've been doing that work. But 2011, I was just starting to tap into my intuition. I started knowing that something wasn't right in my relationship, that there were affairs. There were these feelings that were, like, really awkward and foreign in my body. Mm-hmm. And I was having reactions. I'm like, what is this? And it was my intuition. That doesn't mean I never used it before, but I really started tapping into it for my answers. But I think for the average person who's kind of like, how do I get started on this journey, which was me not that long ago, it's really like, just follow your feelings. If this is making you feel really bad, like if it's not feeling good, and I don't mean like it's just hurting, like training at the gym or doing hill sprints. If it's really like you're feeling danger, you're feeling like this is not good for my soul, trust that.
Yes.
And follow the things that make you feel good. And then once you get into a better place, then you'll have more clarity around what your intuition is. Right. So I do think that intuition and feelings are different because feelings are temporary. Yeah. Intuition is permanent.
Yeah. Yes. That's the
story. I don't think that we can use them interchangeably. I don't think that we should. Yeah.
Beautiful. Follow the feeling. I love that. And you're absolutely right. I think that's the first way how to start, you know, your thermostat. This feels good. Follow it. Right. This feels bad. Right. Feeling bad about situation, feeling bad about people, like, you know,
right.
You know what feels right or not. Right. So that's absolutely amazing.
You're welcome. And the truth is that your intuition fuels your feelings. So that's how you tap into your intuition, right? That's kind of the invisible thread between them. Is your intuition will give you that gross feeling, that like hell no, or a hell yes.
Oh, so, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And I think Lori said it too before, like, you know, it's either hell yes or hell no. I know. Yeah, because it's like yesterday I was talking with a coach, she lives in Bali, and she was like, I follow the first 3 seconds. When I have an inspiration, when I get an intuition, I just go, because if it's heck yes, I do it. If it's heck no, it's just like, I don't even go there. I don't second guess myself.
Right.
Yeah.
It's 100%. I 100%.
This is gold. Thank you so much, Marlo. So
you're so welcome.
Ask you, how can people connect with you? Where they can find you?
Okay, so on social media, you can find me as my name, Marlo Ellis. That's Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. And The Uncommon Woman is my movement for women that I've created. It's a storytelling movement for women who have stories of pain and have stepped into their power. So that's really my big passion project right now. And you can find my movement there, but I'm Marlo Ellis everywhere else. And then my website's marlos.com.
Beautiful. So I will include it in the show notes. Thank you so much for sharing your passion.
You're so welcome, sister.
I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending your time with me on the Be Strong Minded podcast. I'm happy we could share this time together to create a space for the new exciting life that is on its way. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and I would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes. Leave us honest thoughts and comments. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would be really appreciated if you can help us on a journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, keep shining your light.